The Neumarkt in Cologne is a square that has seen a lot in the course of Cologne's history. Neumarkt is German and means simply new market, but the Neumarkt is actually not that new. As early as 1076, the up-and-coming medieval city needed space for trade. The previous market square near the harbor had simply become too small, and so the market became the old market there. But first back to the beginning. On June 7th, 2024, the new fountain on Neumarkt Square will be officially inaugurated. Neumarkt naturally has, let's be honest, many challenges and problems. These are usually the focus when reporting on the largest square in Cologne city center, but I would like to leave that to others at that point. The Neumarkt Square has seen a lot of history in its almost 1,000 years. Cattle once found new owners here. Prussian soldiers paraded in step across the square, and according to superstition, even witches once wreaked havoc here. The rebirth of carnival took also place here around 200 years ago. And so Neumarkt was often then as now a child of its time, an indicator of the state of our city on the Rhine. That's why we are dedicating a special episode to Neumarkt Square. This podcast episode is part of the Focus Week that the press office of the city of Cologne has organized for this week of the fountain opening on Neumarkt. And this episode is intended to be a part of it. Thank you for that opportunity. Everything else about the interesting history of Neumarkt Square directly after the intro. And with that, welcome back to the History of Cologne, a podcast about the history of the city of Cologne that is over 2,000 years old, but until it became what it is today, this old city on the Rhine has endured a colorful and rich past, hence it can therefore be seen as a kind of microcosm of European history. In this podcast, you can listen at this as the city grows, from the Romans up until our present time. The Roman noblewoman Vipsania Agrippina must have been amazed when she went for a walk in the Oppidum Ubiorum in 15 AD. Ooh, have we just traveled back 2,000 years? Yes, we have indeed, dear listener, because the history of the Neumarkt dates back to the founding of Cologne. Vipsania Agrippina is better known today as Agrippina the Elder, but what did Agrippina the Elder marvel at here? Her father, Marcus Vipsanius Agrippa, had established a settlement on the Rhine here just a few years earlier, the Oppidum Ubiorum, the settlement of the Ubians. The first inhabitants were a mixture of Roman veterans and the Germanic Ubians, hence the name of the settlement, Oppidum Ubiorum. A rough square measuring around 1 square kilometer had been marked out for this purpose, and Agrippina the Elder now stood at the western end of the settlement, which was now surrounded by wooden palisades and a moat. It was here, at the western end of Roman Cologne, that the Neumarkt Square would later be laid out in the High Middle Ages. In Roman times, this was... here at Neumarkt Square, researchers encounter a fundamental problem. Everything east of today's Hohestrasse in Roman Cologne up until the Rhine River is largely well archaeologically discovered. Well, in the sense of after 2,000 years of permanent settlement, of course. West of Hohestrasse, which was Cologne's main north-south road, the Caro Maximus in antiquity, the situation becomes more difficult, and this area, the Neumarkt Square, is located at also. But we do have clues, small highlights, so to speak, which gives us clues as what may have been here in ancient times. In short, Neumarkt did not exist, of course, as an open space at that time, 2,000 years ago. There were still Roman buildings here, probably residential buildings. The fact that we really don't always know exactly what was located where in the western part of Roman Cologne is also shown by the reason for this podcast episode: the construction and completion of the new fountain on Neumarkt Square. When the technical chamber required for the fountain was being built in the summer of 2023, a Roman bathroom of a private house was discovered where rich people must have lived, including paintings, underfloor heating and several basins with hot and cold water. Shopping in Cologne city center is like opening a box of chocolates. you never know what's inside. Although nowadays, the back of the box always tells you what's inside. What a spoiler. What we also know, of course, is that the main Roman road in west-east direction ran along what is now the northern part of the square and then led out towards the city of Jülich, a town in the west of Cologne. Also standing here at the western end of Rome, Cologne was, of course, a city gate where St. Apostle the church stands today. Agrippina the Elder stood right here on this street at the western city gate in our little mind game, but this is not entirely fictional because Agrippina the Elder really was here in Cologne in 15 AD being pregnant. Her daughter of the same name, hence Agrippina the Younger, would be born on November 6th of the year 15, here in the Oppidum Ubiorum, so our Cologne. As empress, in the year 50, she would give the city the status of a colony and a new name, Colonia Claudia Ara Agrippinensium. And the rest, you know that already, in this podcast is history. Until the year 355, life in Cologne, in Roman Cologne, was peaceful for centuries, even for those who lived on this side of today's Neumarkt Square. For the most part, but then, like I said, in 355, tragedy struck. Weakened by civil wars, the border of the Roman Empire became increasingly weakly defended. With the Rhine as the border of the Roman Empire, Cologne was a border city between the Roman and the non-Roman world. Some Frankish units from Germania on the right bank of the Rhine exploited this weakness and ravaged and plundered the city in 355. The city is recaptured by Rome after 1 year, however the heyday of the previous centuries was over. Roman rule finally came to an end around the year 450. Before then, not everyone but quite a few had probably left the city to flee to safer regions of the decaying Roman Empire. The Germanic Franks were the new masters of the city now, but much remains the same for the time being. The old Roman population lived in the city together with their new Frankish neighbors who had moved in. In the early Middle Ages, however, the following happens. The focus of the settlement area in Cologne moves eastwards, namely into a dried-up channel of the Rhine River. In ancient times, people would have gotten their feet wet here, where nowadays Altermarkt, so the Old Market, and Heumarkt, so Haymarket, are today. However, the areas to the west, where the Neumarkt Square would later emerge, appear to have been abandoned or deserted in the course of the upheavals between Roman and Frankish rule. With farmsteads, farms, and above all, large agricultural areas within the city limits, you would have thought you were in the countryside looking at Cologne in the 6th or 7th century. This was the fate of most ancient former Roman cities in the early Middle Ages. First and foremost, the former city of Rome itself, which once had a population of 1 million. It only had a few thousand inhabitants at most in the early Middle Ages. But I don't want to paint a picture of the supposedly dark Middle Ages here. From the year 800 at the latest, Cologne's fortunes soared and was to be the largest city in the empire for several centuries. Charles the Great turned Cologne into an important economic center with the establishment of the Archbishopric of Cologne. As the richest inhabitant of the city, the archbishop who resided here in Cologne gained more and more political power in the city. Strange from today's perspective, I know, but there was simply no separation between church and state back then. However, this circumstance is decisive for the development of the Neumarkt Square. From the middle of the 10th century, the archbishops of Cologne finally became the supreme secular rulers of the city. Equipped with former royal rights such as market customs and minting rights in the city, they were able to exert extensive influence on the city's development. And, well, how much they did that. Archbishop Bruno, who was the supreme ruler of Cologne in the middle of the 10th century, for example, had all the buildings on today's Altermarkt and Heumarkt Square demolished in order to create a large, open and contiguous square. But after only around 100 years, the space there is no longer sufficient. More space is needed. The city got bigger and bigger. And above all, the dirt caused by the numerous farm animals in the middle of the city being presented here at the old market was probably a thorn in the side of many people. Imagine all the bleating, clucking, mooing, mowing, or neighing right outside your window if you lived not far from the Altmarkt. Altmarkt, sorry. I sometimes mix up German and English. But it was true. No, it couldn't go on like that. And so in 1076, Archbishop Hildolf ordered the construction of a large additional square for a market on the edge of the then city area in the west, today's Neumarkt Square. According to written sources, there was largely no built-up area here, even though it was still within the walled city, so unlike the Altmarkt and Heumarkt, no buildings had to be demolished for it. To the west, the square was still bordered by the city wall from Roman times. It was still intact, and the new monastery of Saint Apostle. The name Neumarkt appears quite early in historical sources as Novo Mercato, in Latin simply meaning new market. The square blossomed in the further course of the Middle Ages. In the 13th century, St. Apostles was repeatedly enlarged and extended to approximately the same splendor that we can marvel at today. The interesting thing is that the Roman city wall in the west remains largely intact. Even the two large medieval extensions to the city did not change this at this place, rendering the old Roman wall largely useless from a military point of view. You can still see this really well on the Mercator map from the 16th century, which shows Cologne from a bird's eye view. The Roman wall here on Neumarkt Square was first demolished in 1786. Until then, it was often used by the clergy living here as a crossing between the monastery and the adjacent residential buildings where they lived at. The area around Neumarkt Square, on the other hand, is diverse. In addition to rows of houses directly on the square, large religious institutions such as monasteries or hospitals are also characterizing the picture. Extensive farmland can also be found to the east of the square. As already mentioned, animals are sold here on the market area, mainly horses, because trucks and cars up to the time of motorization in the course of the 20th century did not exist yet. The associated water troughs and fences have been handed down and are well known by archaeologists in recent times. And what we have only known since 2023, a medieval road ran right across the Neumarkt Square, which was found during the construction of this fountain that is going to open in a few days after this podcast episode is released. But the space is also used for other purposes in the Middle Ages. A brewery of the nearby St. Apostles Monastery also took advantage of the peripheral location, as the process of creating the delicious brew of beer can be quite smelly. I know that from personal experience. A windmill stood at the eastern end of the square, towards the Schildergasse Street, which was later used as a prison. You can also clearly see this building on the already mentioned 16th century Mercator map. I will, of course, put it on the homepage, thehistoryofcologne.com. Cologne has been largely independent as a municipality since the late Middle Ages, a city-state legally subject only to the emperor. To put it very simply, the archbishop as a secular city ruler was de facto abolished as early as 1288 after the Battle of Worringen, which the archbishop lost against the Bürger, the citizens of Cologne. Even though it would take until 1475 before the city was officially granted the title of a free imperial city, it was like that already in 1288. From then on, the defense of the city was organized by so-called Gaffeln in German, which were, it's a difficult topic, but let's say it's a union of guilds that work together in that field and in many other fields as well, like economy and politics, of course. And of course, they had to be prepared for an emergency, like an attack or a siege of the city. And so the Neumarkt Square served as a training ground, shooting with arrows and bows, crossbows, and also with firearms was on the agenda here. Over the next few centuries, the Neumarkt Square remained everything described so far, a place for cattle trading, military exercises, and serving as a prison. In general, there was always something mystical about the Neumarkt. When the plague ravaged Cologne, a rich lady named Richmodes, who came from the important Cologne patrician family Lüskirchen, apparently died of the disease. As she lived directly on Neumarkt Square with her husband Richolf, the presumed dead woman was taken directly to neighboring St. Apostles to be laid out there until the funeral next day. A gravedigger tries to take this as a chance for his own well-being that a rich lady from a wealthy background is lying in state in St. Apostles. Opportunity makes thieves. It's a proverb in German. No idea if that's also a proverb in English as well. And so the gravedigger wants to take the jewelry that Richmodes was still wearing. Yeah, he wanted to take that away from her while she was laying dead in the church. What a fright the villain must have had when Richmodes opened her eyes and sat up. The gravedigger ran off screaming. Richmodes, on the other hand, walks out of the church in high spirits and knocks on the front door, being totally alive. She was only assumed to be dead. But her husband, who believes he is now a widower, does not open the door at first. He thinks that's a ghost haunting him or something like that. And so he says loudly, "My horses would rather climb up the stairs of my tower and look out of it than my wife still being alive." And a mighty clatter can be heard in the courtyard, and indeed the horses ride up the stairs to the tower and look out, which is a really unnatural behavior for horses. And Richmodes is allowed to return home. What a happy ending. What a nice legend. Incidentally, there is still a tower on the Neumarkt Square to this day, based on this legend, from which two horses still look out nowadays. But they are made out of stone, so don't worry. Take a close look next time to see if you can spot them. Whether you believe in the legend is up to you, but Richmodes and her husband Richolf can be proven to have existed. They lived at the Neumarkt Square at what is now house number 6. Other patricians also lived here, but for reasons of time, I will leave Richmodes as a representative of this topic. From the beginning of the early modern period, around 1500, the mania for persecuting supposed witches also began in Cologne. As Neumarkt was occasionally used as a place of execution, it is assumed that witches and sorcerers like to meet here at night. 100 accusations in Cologne have been recorded in documents. We know of 38 death sentences that were carried out. 33 were women, 3 were men, and also a boy. However, they were executed outside the city, on the Melatenfeld, and not inside the city. At the beginning of the 18th century, Neumarkt, as described in the intro, is also a reflection of its time. That is totally true in the 18th century. The former glory of the free imperial city, once the largest city in medieval Germany, has long since faded. City has become rigid in its late medieval structures, which once made it so successful. A majority of the city's ruling class in a council, guilds and university members were vehemently opposed to the necessary reforms. The Neumarkt Square fell into a kind of slumber during this time. The cattle market was moved back at the Heumarkt Square. The mill, which had served as a prison in the meantime, was also demolished by targeted demolition. But then, at the end of the 18th century, something happened in Cologne that had not happened for many, many centuries. An enemy army conquered Cologne. But not just to plunder, they did also plunder, of course, but to stay and to conquer it. The revolution had broken out in France in 1789. The Republic was proclaimed, and the French king was guillotined in 1793. The whole of Europe was in turmoil the next two centuries. And the Holy Roman Empire, or rather the two great powers within it, Prussia and Austria, and the rest of Europe that was ruled by monarchs, so basically every country, they went to war against France. The rest, of course, the Napoleonic Wars, the Revolutionary Wars, the Coalition Wars, no matter how you call them, well, of course, that is all history. But France was able to hold its own for over 20 years and even brought large parts of Europe under its control. On October 6, 1794, the French revolutionary troops entered Cologne without a fight. This was because the Imperial Austrian army, which was supposed to defend the city, had fled to the right bank of the Rhine the day before, leaving Cologne totally defenseless. What followed was a 20-year period in which Cologne was first occupied by France and then even became part of the French state. And yes, that means that Napoleon was also the emperor for Cologne at that time. And here too, Neumarkt is symbolic of the new era that had dawned. Just a few days after the conquest of Cologne in October 1794, French soldiers erected a Tree of Liberty on the Neumarkt Square. From the French point of view, Cologne had been liberated. Liberated from the church, feudalism, religious intolerance, and economic bondage. And to ensure that everyone understood this, that a new dawn had dawned, the entire upper class of the city, including the Cologne City Council, had to come to Neumarkt Square and take part in a celebration of the so-called liberation. You can see a painting about this event, which is really beautiful to look at, in the Cologne City Museum in Minoritenstraße. I just looked at it 2 days ago, at the painting. The square is renamed now several times in this French period of 20 years, and you know I can't speak French at all. I've been to Disneyland a few weeks ago. It was really, it was not really a struggle. Many people spoke English in Disneyland. But the names were like this. Place de la Liberté, Place de Armes, Place de l'Empereur, and then back to Place de la Victoire. So Place of Liberty, Square of Liberty, Square of Weapons, Square of the Emperor, and Square of the Victory, a Victory Square. Emperor Napoleon was also in Cologne, at least at once. Maybe he came several times, but the most famous visit was in 1805 when he came to the city, and this the famous Cologne citizen Ferdinand Franz Wallraff arranged for the entire city to be colorfully decorated, and then ended the tour, the city tour, with Napoleon with great pomp at, you might have guessed it, at the Neumarkt Square. And countless newly planted trees and lamps adorned the square for this occasion. This is also where the emperor resided for a few days, at Neumarkt Square number 4 in the Blankenheimer Hof, a big estate located at today's Neumarkt Square number 4, but it does not exist anymore. Today there is a shopping center at this address. Until 1815, the city undergoes enormous change under French rule, a true upheaval. Centuries-old traditions were abolished. Guilds were abolished. This meant that the de facto freedom of occupation came into force. Monasteries and convents are abolished in the city. This is a turning point that should not be underestimated. Ecclesiastical institutions had previously been large commercial enterprises and had been rich owners of numerous estates inside and outside of the city. Even those who were not clergymen were often in the service of a clerical institution as a craftsman, day laborer, or servant. Numerous churches, chapels, and farm buildings of the monasteries are expropriated and get demolished. Also on Neumarkt Square, St. Gertrude and the Chapel of St. Agnes and the Pour Clare Monastery on this, I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, and the Pour Clare Monastery on the north side of the Neumarkt, for example, they get demolished. Without their demolition, we would not see the building of the big bank of Kreissparkasse or the large shopping malls in their place today. The collegiate church, the monastery of St. Apostles, however, survived secularization as it was converted into a parish church. In the early 19th century, the Alexian Monastery, also on the south side of the Neumarkt Square, was also abandoned, demolished, and residential buildings were built in its place. This upheaval, during the French time and the years after that, gave the Neumarkt Square a much more urban character. It was no longer bordered by religious buildings, but increasingly by residential and commercial buildings. In 1814, French rule came to an abrupt end because France had been exhausted by 20 years of almost permanent warfare. Added to this was Napoleon's disastrous Russian campaign and the loss at Leipzig, which failed. And so in 1814, foreign troops once again marched into Cologne without a fight, this time the armies of Prussia and Russia. 1 year later, when Europe was reorganized in 1815 at the Congress of Vienna, it was clear that Cologne, like the entire mostly Catholic Rhineland, would become part of the Protestant Kingdom of Prussia. Achtung, stillgestanden! The Prussians take over in 1814, 1815, and for many people in Cologne, this comes as a bit of a shock. They had sometimes hoped to become an independent city again, like Frankfurt, for example, but the largely Protestant Prussians turned the largely Catholic Cologne into a fortress city, degrading it. And the Neumarkt Square is once again emblematic of this period. The Prussians quarter thousands of soldiers into the old city. Men in uniform can be seen everywhere on the streets, and Neumarkt Square became the preferred parade ground for them. Prussian units hold exercises and parades here, and of course they also show who is now the real master of the city. Keyword parades. In 1823, another parade began here, at the first time in the modern era. It is the first carnival procession. If you want to learn more about it, remember I had my own episode about the history of Cologne Carnival. However, this first Rose Monday parade in history is somewhat different from today. We don't find a triumvirate here as nowadays, but there's a carnival hero who rides in a float on which a giant fish or dolphin is attached as a figure. The maiden also already exists as an embodiment of the city of Cologne based on Agrippina the Younger. She, played by a man, rides separately on a horse in the parade of 1823. Why is this so important? Carnival had already existed before, yes, the historical evidence goes way back to the Middle Ages. The Cologne Carnival was a thorn in the side of the new Prussian rulers, just like the French before them. Disorderly, unruly and chaotic, people celebrated in the streets, drank and, in the opinion of the time, did immoral things. So nothing has changed, I guess. But not that the wild goings on should turn into a riot against the new Prussian rule. And so, until the Second World War, Neumarkt Square would always remain the starting point of the organized Rose Monday parade. For that, in 1822, 1823, influential high-ranking Cologne citizens founded the first festival committee of Cologne Carnival and gave Carnival in Cologne an organized structure for the first time. The anarchistic popular hustle and bustle of the Middle Ages became a bourgeois event. The main reason for this was to appease, as I said, the Prussians and avoid a ban of it. The carnival, as we know it today, with clubs, parades and meetings, it first appeared in this form at Neumarkt Square in 1823. Events in modern German history were also reflected here. Despite heavy losses of Prussian troops from Cologne, the Prussian victory against Austria in 1866 was celebrated with great jubilation here. A triumphal arch was built for the celebrations. In 1871, Cologne became a city in the newly founded German Empire as part of Prussia. The several expansions of the city, which would continue from the 1880s until 1914, turned Neumarkt Square into a main traffic hub, which it is still today. Around the year 1900, five streetcar lines already served Neumarkt and connected the city center with the incorporated suburbs such as Ehrenfeld, Nippes and Lindenthal. This period around 1900 also saw the construction of buildings and institutions that still characterize Neumarkt today. In 1895, the classicist Haus Fastenrath was built on the southeast corner of the square. Here literature and art were discussed and, from 1918, also acquired after a resale took place. It still stands today as Kunsthaus Lamperts, or Art House Lamperts. Despite the destruction of the building in the Second World War, it was rebuilt. The Bing brothers business premises were built diagonally opposite to the south. The Bing family, who had once migrated to Cologne from Bingen am Rhein, had already successfully traded in fashion and fabrics in the city in the 19th century. Prussian officers and soldiers in particular, who were stationed in the fortress city of Cologne and in the officers' mess on Neumarkt Square, liked to shop at the Bing's family on Neumarkt Square so that they could have clothes tailored to suit their status. With the new business premises, the company was optimistic about the future from 1908. But then came the First World War, and the markets in France and Great Britain collapsed. The First World War was followed by inflation and then the rule of the National Socialists, or the Nazis. This forced the Jewish owners, that the Bings were after all, to sell the house for even less than it was worth, just a fraction. And even then, they only received a fraction of the amount they agreed on with the city. This is what happened in Cologne in 700 other cases. The city administration bought properties from Jewish people during the Nazi era for far too low a purchase price. Today, the building houses the municipal health department. This already existed during the Nazi era, but the health services here were entirely in line with Nazi ideology. You had to go there between 1935 and 1945 to have your so-called marriage suitability certified. Hundreds of couples were denied this at the time, that they were marriage suitable, as they sometimes wanted to marry someone who was Jewish, or they themselves had Jewish ancestors or were Jewish themselves. Here too, examinations were carried out to determine whether someone had a hereditary disease, a so-called hereditary disease. If the results were positive, forced sterilization was carried out. 4,000 cases of this are documented in Cologne, which had previously passed through the desks of the Cologne Health Authority here at Neumarkt Square. When this practice was introduced, the then head of the Cologne Health Department, city doctor Franz Fossen, protested against it. He was then forced by the Nazis into early retirement, and against his will, of course. After the end of the war in 1945, he was reinstated by the Americans as the first post-war city doctor to head the health department again. Willy Ostermann also lived not far from the Bing House at number 33 around 1900. The great singer-songwriter lived here especially towards the end of his life in the 1930s. When he celebrated his silver wedding anniversary here with his wife Käthe on January 13, 1936, a crowd of people paralyzed traffic on the south side of the square. They all wanted to congratulate the great man from Cologne and his wife on this day. He was a real pop star back then. The same thing happened again a few months later as Ostermann died in the same year of 1936. He was buried in the Melaten Cemetery west from Cologne. From Neumarkt, the Hahnenstraße and then later Aachener Straße, following the course of the Roman Via Belgica, led straight there from his place of residence. Crowds of people stood along the path between Neumarkt and Melaten Cemetery. Cologne had never seen such a large funeral procession before. Shortly before his death, he also wrote one of his well-known songs in his house at number 33, called Heimweh nach Köln, so homesick for Cologne. During the Nazi era, Neumarkt Square itself became a place where the Nazis held rallies. Quite a few squares were renamed during this time in Cologne. The Eberplatz, for example, in the northern part of the city center, became the Adolf Hitler Platz. The Rudolf Platz Square, which is a neighboring square to the west from Neumarkt Square, became the Schlageter Platz. And the Neumarkt, on the other hand, surprisingly was spared, which surprised me personally as well, because the largest square in Cologne city center would actually have been predestined for propagandistically effective renaming. The Nazis have left their mark on Neumarkt Square to this day anyway. They widened the Hafenstraße, which connects Rudolfplatz Square and Neumarkt Square and runs south of the square. It was actually supposed by the Nazis to widen the street 68 meters wide which would have meant demolishing large parts of the existing surrounding buildings. However, as the Second World War began in 1939, the road was only widened to 28 meters. In addition, a breakthrough to Pippinstrasse and thus to the bridge to Deutz over the Rhine River was made to the east behind Neumarkt Square. And this is another reason why Neumarkt was able to become such a traffic junction, not only for streetcars, but for the car traffic in general nowadays. Back then, remember, the Neumarkt Square is in the Old Town Square. Many roads were small and not really wide, but here at Neumarkt Square, they made the street really wide. At the northeast corner of Neumarkt Square, at the beginning of Schildergasse, there had been a police headquarters since 1907. With its medieval-looking tower, it looked like a modern knight's castle. The secret state police of the Nazis, the Gestapo, also resided here until 1935. The Gestapo would later move to another building a few streets further, but the police station on Neumarkt Square still stood here, carrying out the policy of the Nazis. But in 1943, the police station on Neumarkt Square was destroyed in an air raid. When the Second World War ended in May 1945, 95% of Neumarkt Square, like the rest of the city center, had been totally destroyed. The buildings around the square were in ruins, and it looked as if giants had dug holes in the square with giant shovels. However, the reconstruction work began quickly. By 1952, the Kunsthaus Lamperts, as already mentioned, had been rebuilt and resumed its work. The tower with the horses from the Richmodes legend, which had only been built in 1928, was rebuilt in 1958. The tower had survived the hail of bombs to some extent, but not the little stone horses sticking out of it. The Church of St. Apostles at the western end of the square, already nearly being 1,000 years old, was also badly hit. The reconstruction work was to last until 1975. Where Napoleon once resided, the huge Hertie department store was built at numbers 2 to 4. In the era of the economic miracle, the Wirtschaftswunderzeit, as we say in German, these temples of consumption were the highlight of a trip to the city center. It stood here until 1997 and was then replaced by the new Neumarkt Galerie shopping center. And in 2001, one of the most curious landmarks appeared on the corner of the building. A gigantic ice cream cone turned upside down, like it fell from the sky on top of the roof. The weight of the inverted ice cream cone, about as much as 40,000 scoops of ice cream. Is this a criticism of our society's consumer behavior, or imitate one of Cologne's many church towers that still exist today? Well, created by the artist Klaas Oldenburg, it is up to you, personally, to decide for yourself what meaning and significance you see in this work of art, so a big ice cream cone being put on top of a roof. In 1956, the Schnütgen Museum, the Museum of Medieval Art, was added as a direct neighbor of the Neumarkt Square, which was housed in the St. Cecilia Church on the southeast edge of the square. Federal President Theodor Heuss named it the most beautiful museum in Germany at the time. Late in the 1960s, the Kunsthalle, the art hall, and the Volkshochschule, so what's a Volkshochschule in English? It's a place where you can go as a citizen in the evening or at night to learn something new, like cooking or how to use a hammer or something like that, and was built next to the Museum Schnütgen. The art hall was demolished in 2002, and since 2010, the big new cultural quarter at Neumarkt Square is standing here, which is home to the Rautenstrauch-Jost Museum, which presents ethnography, if I pronounce that correctly. This new building, but also houses the Museum Schnütgen as well, which expanded its rooms in that building as well. as a direct neighbor as well in 1979, none other than Heinrich Böll inaugurated the Central Library on Neumarkt Square as well, which completes this cultural quarter in the southeast corner of Neumarkt Square. And if you don't know Heinrich Böll, well, you have to do your research. He also won the Nobel Prize for Literature. And being a Cologne citizen, we as Cologne citizens are very proud of him. Also in 1956, a large fountain was installed in the middle of the square, which provided cool water in the warm months in summer until 1997, when the fountain, I have no idea, went off for a long time. With the fountain now reopened at the beginning of June 2024, the city would like to pick up where it left off in 1997. Two infrastructural measures in the second half of the 1960s determined the character of Neumarkt Square to this day. In 1966, Schildergasse Street, the place where many people shop in Cologne, which leads into or starts or ends at into Neumarkt Square, depends on how you look at it, becomes one of the first pedestrian zones in Germany. And 3 years later, the subway station of Neumarkt Square also opens and, yeah, makes it even more a traffic hotspot of the city. As this is not intended to be just another string of dates, and the episode is clearly already long enough, I would like to slowly come to an end here about the history of Neumarkt Square. Since 1980, the Neumarkt Square is listed as a historical building. Its shape and size have hardly changed in almost 1,000 years, but of course its surroundings have. Whether the Roman houses of rich inhabitants, ecclesiastical monasteries, patrician houses, parades, receptions, carnival, and of course war, the Neumarkt Square has experienced a lot in its history and experiences countless new stories every day. You know that I'm not a big fan of nostalgia, nor am I a fan of rose-tinted spectacles. We have to make it very clear, Neumarkt Square has its problems and challenges in the 21st century. Today, it has been completely cut off from the rest of the city by 20th century urban planning. Every conceivable form of traffic flows around it, whether car, bus, streetcar, motorcycle, e-scooter or bicycle, and not only around it, beneath it and above it as well. The square itself is beautifully planted with tall plane trees, and it really has its charm if you go to the circus there, when it's stopping there, or if you take part in the Funkenbiwak at Cologne Carnival, or in wintertime when you visit the Christmas market there. It can be really, really beautiful, but nevertheless, being such a traffic hotspot, Neumarkt could exploit its potential much further, but what measures are necessary to improve the lack of quality of life there, especially in everyday life, or to curb the drug problem, which is also visible in many places in the city? Man, I have no idea. That's beyond my skills and knowledge so far. I hope you enjoyed this little journey through the history of the Neumarkt Square. As this episode is published, we are fast approaching summer. Maybe you'll take the advantage of the warm weather to try out the new fountain at Neumarkt and cool yourself off. What was useful to me as a source or as literature for this podcast episode? For such a cross-period episode, mainly the usual reference works, both the Cologne Encyclopedia, edited by Jürgen Wilhelm, but I also owe a lot of the knowledge to Uli Kiefernagel, also known as the Köln Lotse, a tour guide, a city guide of Cologne, who has been writing articles about historical places and personalities in Cologne for years in his online blog. I have linked to his blog in the show notes. Yeah, and like that, we have reached the end of the episode. Many thanks this time to the following people who threw a little bit of a tip into my head. Thank you very much to Silvia, Johannes, Anne, Tommy, Bastian, Jutta, Brigitte, Alexander, Sabine, Norbert, Antje, Alexander, another Alexander, and Christian. Thank you for your tip via PayPal. And thank you, everyone, who listened to this episode to learn more about the history of the Neumarkt Square. Recommend me further, rate this podcast in your favorite podcast app, and as always, auf Wiedersehen.